Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
You're listening to Solar Records Radio, music from Club Nouveau from 1987. Of course, that is Why You Treat Me So Bad. And hey, good evening to you. It's been a couple of weeks, but I am back. It is another Throwback Thursday night. I am your host, Don Fleming. For the next 2 hours, I'm going to be jamming old school R&B, funk, and soul. And I'm going to open the phone line. 646-668-8537. 646-668-8537. Got music on the way. We got some M2MA on the way. We got some Stevie Wonder on the way. And who knows, I might give you an underground classic from this group called Attitude, of course, produced by David Frank from The System. I haven't played that in a while, so I might hook that up. But man, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Catch me every Thursday. Or, you know, of course, like archive show if I'm not there live. Catch me every Thursday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. playing old school R&B, old school funk, and soul. Of course, I am the R&B dude. You know, I am that. Every now and then I might throw a little hip-hop in there. So, you know, for all those, again, thank you for supporting the show. Thank you so much for donating to the website, solarrecordsradio.com, wardellpottsjr.com, and also we got some cool merchandise. I ordered my hat. I'm waiting for my hat to come so I can post my hat and all of that. Of course, if you're on Facebook, make sure you like the page, Solar Records Radio on Facebook. Tell a friend to like it. You know how it goes. And we might get a Twitter page, too. I'm talking to Wardell about that so we can have a Twitter page so I can troll on the Solar Records Radio. No, I'm joking. No, we can have the page and, of course, have a lot of fun on that and get a lot of great information. And you never know who's going to call into the show and hang out with us. And I also want to remind you, if you want to donate, you can go to those websites again, www.wardellpottsjr.com, www.solarrecordsradio.com, and also you can we have a Cash App, $SolarRecordsRadio, all one big word. So I just want to go ahead and start the show off and give you a classic, some UK classic from 1986. This is music from 52nd Street. Of course, this is called Tell Me How It Feels. You guys keep it locked right here. Solar Records Radio.
Yeah. Heaven opens up its gates, and peace of mind can shine through. You smiled at me when the world was unkind. I'm finally able to unwind. I found an angel. With no regrets, I can forget all about my blues. My life can take direction now, and my mind a clearer point of view. You know you lift me up when I'm torn down. You brought me out of this lost and found. I found an angel, yes, yes, an angel. I found my angel.
You're an angel in my eyes.
I found my angel.
You're listening to Solar Records Radio. Of course, that is music from the lovely Miss Karen Wheeler, of formerly of Soul Masola. Unless she's still doing tours with Soul Masola now. Of course, that was from her solo debut album from 1990, Living in the Light. Before that, 1987 classic from the lovely Miss Angela Winbush. The name of the song is called Angel. Of course, her name's Angela. Yeah, hey, she is an angel. And that was corny. And of course, started off the block, I had to give you a classic from the group, 52nd Street. Of course, giving you a little UK soul, soul from across the pond. Tell me how it feels from 1986. We've got an hour, 37 minutes left to show again. Thank you so much for tuning in and hanging out with me. We got more music on the way. First of all, I got to say, man, it's been a crazy, crazy 2023 already when it comes to politics and, you know, the new Congress and all of these things. And every now and then you just got to get away. But at the same time, I play the music, I do what I do, but I'm still human, and there are still things that I'm very passionate about. And, you know, thing about politicians, it doesn't matter, you know, what party or whatever, but a lot of these people lie. And a lot of these people purposely spread out disinformation, and it's just not fair. We have a governor right now in Florida that feels the need to tell people that advanced placement African-American studies has no educational value. That really bugged me, you know? That's just something that, you know, it's amazing to me how devalued, you know, that the marginalized is, especially when it comes to, you know, the history. Because, again, as corny as it sounds, you know, if we don't know our history, we're going to repeat this stuff. And I'm sure there's many other eloquent ways to say that. But to whitewash that or take that away because it makes people feel, you know, discomfort, you know, that's a slippery slope, you know. But hey, the people voted for him. He's the governor. And, you know, but we intend to stay on these culture wars and scare people. And, you know, people want to know about the economy. People want to know, you know, when will, you know, and again, when will gas come down? When will the cost of eggs, you know, come down? The cost of orange juice? All of these things that are affecting our pockets, you know, they're talking about in these culture wars and scaring people. You know, it just bugs me. And again, if you have, you got a comment, if you're on the Solar Records Radio Facebook page, if you have a comment to make, that's something that's concerning you about it, you know, let's have a talk. Or I might get Ward Hill on and we'll talk about the situation. Because, again, this is something that just needs to be addressed. And just get it off of chest, you know. But anyway, it's all good. It's just something that, you know, just understand that the people that govern may not have your best interest in heart, you know. And, you know, again, if you voted for him, obviously you voted for him. You have the same values that he has. Or she could, you know, depending on that type of government. I'm talking about Ron DeSantis right now. This man is my opinion. This man is nuts, you know. But again, it's just, you know, the political gerrymandering of districts, and, you know, and I just can't get with all of that. And you know, people are like, well, maybe you should run for office. I don't know. People know my secrets. I have done some freaky stuff in the 90s that I don't want anybody to know about. I'm just saying. So if you want to talk about it, no. 646-668-8537. Again, the phone lines are open. We don't have to talk about that stuff, though. We don't have to talk about that, you know. But anyway, let's keep the music going, man. Let's take you back 1992, 31 years ago, my graduation. I graduated in 1992. Music from the group Portrait. Name of the song is called Here We Go Again. And Here We Go Again. Solar Records Radio. Keep it locked right here.
'cause I've never been so moved before.
I'll get to know you better. 'Cause I tell him right, he thinks I'm wrong.
You're listening to Solar Records Radio, of course, from the album Baduism, of course, 1997 classic, the lovely Miss Erykah Badu. Name of the song is called Other Side of the Game. Before that, I had to hook up a little Attitude. Of course, Attitude is an underground album from 1983, of course, produced by David Frank and Mick Murphy from The System. It was consisted of Paul Pesco, Sidney Mazel, and Chris Kello. Of course, they've done background work for The System. As a matter of fact, you can, when you hear that song, you hear System-esque. That System-esque type vibe, of course, that is I Want to Get to Know You Better from the group Attitude. And, of course, started off the block, group Portrait. Here we go again. And, no, I wanted to come back and you know, like, get into it. It just irks me that people are just this cynical and I'm just going to say just evil, you know, and DeSantis ended up saying something to the effect of he didn't want, LGBT studies in that black AP course and African-American AP course, as they call it. And I was like, okay, no, you can't put the manure back into the horse, you know? You can't do it. You already said what you said. It lacked educational value. And I think we are all better once we know each other's history. You know, this isn't about making people feel discomfort or any type of unease. And that's what this is all about. You know, this whole critical race theory stuff taught in universities, taught in law school, it's not taught K-12. Where are you getting this stuff? Anything that deals with black history, you can slap the word CRT on, and it scares the heck out of people. That's basically what this is about. And, you know, it's very upsetting that people are able to soak this up, and it just releases this sense of paranoia, you know? And that's the last thing we need as a collective. You know, people believe in the tenets of this Constitution, but a lot of people don't care about it. They don't care about freedom of speech. They don't care about freedom of the press when it serves them. So anyway, a lot of states. I live in Arkansas, and there's a highly qualified brother that did not become the governor. We have the woman who lied being Trump's press secretary. And, of course, for those listening, you probably already know my political views or whatever, but it is what it is. But we're going to try to make the best of it. We're going to try to make the best of the situation. But all of this culture war and scaring people to death, you know, we've already been through that. Well, I wasn't born, but this country's already been through that recently with the Southern Strategy in 1968, when Nixon did it, and then when Reagan did it in 80, you know. So, but anyway, just a little something I had to get off the chest. But keep it coming, man. Thank you so much for the feedback. I'm getting the text like, hey, man, I love what you're saying. And sometimes somebody might hit me up and be like, you don't know what you're talking about. Hey, I take all criticism, whether it's, you know, positive, negative, whatever. I am but human. I am flawed, you know, but my whole thing is to try to make just humanity, you know, and just understand the humanity in us all, because, you know, when one person suffers, in the collective, all of us do. You know, this can't be about me, you know. And this country has you know, because of the greed and, all of these things, all of these factors. And, hey, a lot of people may say, hey, this country was founded on greed. Can't do nothing about it. But I'm just going to do my part. And that's all, you know, that's all I can do. So, but anyway, transitioning back into some music, man. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. and hang out with me. I do this every Thursday. Again, if I'm not here on live, check out an archive show, one of our interviews, and just great shows, of course, with myself and Wardell doing what we do every Thursday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I want to go ahead and keep this music going. I was a big fan of M2ME. I grew up on the music. Of course, rest in peace to James M2ME. We had Hubert Eves on the show a few months back. Of course, Hubert Eves was a part, before he blew up with D-Train, he was a part of the group M2ME. And of course, he had his, you know, his jazz painful pleasure in the late 70s. But of course, doing things, producing and playing on songs like from Stephanie Mills to Phyllis Hyman, just a lot of great music. Of course, again, went to D-Train and just blew up the spot. As a matter of fact, they reunited, I think, this past summer in France. And we got to get Hubert back on the show, man. Definitely got to get him back on the show. But M2ME, James M2ME, rest in peace again to Reggie Lucas and James M2ME. Of course, those producers, they were like super producers in the early 80s. And I want to take you back to the year 1984, give you one of my favorite songs. Of course, you hear Tuatha and M2ME have their little say-so. But this is a beautiful song about, I guess, a love triangle, if you will. It's called You, Me, and He. Keep it locked right here to Soul Art Records Radio.
There's something I wanna say. Try and understand. There's another in my life. He's my lover, and I'm your wife.
You, me, and he. Blind to see. I never thought it could happen to me. Then I knew things had changed. 'Cause when we made love, you called out his name. So much tension. 'Cause we're living a lie.
Can we give it a try?
You're listening to Solar Records Radio, of course, music from the group M2Me. The name of the song is called You, Me, and He. What a beautiful song about a love triangle. I did mention that earlier, but of course, this was the first song, but I wanted to come in because I have my partner, Wardell Potts Jr. on the phone lines. Man, come on. All that shuffling, when I get you on, can't have all that shuffling, brother. I'm sorry. No, I'm joking. What's up, man?
I can't help it. I'm just dancing over here. I'm having a good time.
You're dancing. I got you.
I'm dancing, man, I'm one of those old men that have keys on his belt. And so they just shaking it. I had to take the keys off my belt. Yeah. So what's
man,
the word,
I appreciate
bro?
You hanging out. I appreciate you hanging out, man. You know, it's some things that just kind of bug me. This is my first time coming back since, you know, doing my show for a couple of weeks and everything. And of course, 2023 has just already started off to be just like this cluster bang of just nonsense. Mm. And I just wanted to get a couple of things off my chest, but I'm glad you're on, man. I'm glad you're on to hang out with me and hang out on the show with me. I know this isn't just your area. It is an area of expertise because it comes from your heart, but I know it's something that you know you're kind of hesitant to talk about. But I know, you know, you had mentioned earlier, we mentioned on the phone about the cops in Memphis, man. Those five cops that got charged. And for killing that young brother, and you know, and there were five, black cops in Memphis that got, you know, and apparently the video is going to be released tomorrow, and I don't want to feel like I want to see that. I'm robbing myself to be outraged because I'm going to be outraged anyway because there's a lot of things going on when it comes to police and the communities they're supposed to serve. There's a lot of mistrust there. And it's just it doesn't matter to me if the cop is white or black or Asian or whatever. It's blue. It's the mentality of blue. And it always has this, I feel, has this, and again, we can always say, yeah, there are good cops out there. Let me preface that. But at the same time, there is a blue wall, and it manifests this oppressive mind state that pretty much preys on those communities to think that they're an occupied force in another country. You know, it's like we're in Iraq. It's like we're in Beirut or something. You know, and that's there's no trust. There's no trust, man. And it just it's hurting my mind right now. I'm a little upset about it, but I tried to go through it with the music, and it is therapeutic. And again, I apologize to the listeners because, you know, I just wanted to go ahead and get this off my chest and use this platform for a quick second and then get back to some music. But it's real hard to try to walk that fine line when it comes to, you know, playing the music for the people and saying what's on your mind about things that are very valuable to you and your humanity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, for me, it's shocking. And a lot of people go, well, you shouldn't be shocked because it's been going on. The problem is, that's what I'm in shock about, that it's still going on. And so you think about, after all years and years ago, you would have thought after what Martin Luther King and them did with the civil rights movement, we would be way past where we are now. But it appears to me that we're going backwards. We're going back to that time, and it is just disgusting. And because what's happening is that I believe the reason why we are is because the perpetrators are not being held for what they've done wrong. And so we'll charge them, and then they get off. So you charge them, and they get off, and then the next it happens again and over and over and over. And so it never gets solved. And so it's gone on for decades now. thing. So being a black man in America, you think, men off duty that were serving the country that were black and was treated like, you know, like they were black. And, you know, like, and once they found out, oh, he's an FBI agent. Oh, I'm so sorry, you know. Found out, oh, he's, you know, he's in the armed forces, you know, so, oh, I'm so sorry. But see, he treated them exactly like you would treat any other black man. And so we all are subject to this type of treatment, which is scary and shocking to me. I'm still shocked that we have, you know, that conversation with my boys. I have two boys, and I had that conversation with them of how to react when a police officer pulls you over. I don't want to see you on the news.
It's crazy, you know. You're breaking up a little bit. I wanted to go ahead and add this because, you know, you said something that's very profound as far as, you know, our civil rights movement. You know, when you think about the history of this country, even when you go back 80 years, from 80 years to now, if there's any type of upward mobility in the collective, because here's the thing, I do believe, you know, rising tide lifts all boats. A lot of people don't believe that. They think they use words like socialism. They use all of these buzzwords to scare people. And it goes back to what I was saying about this whole culture wars thing. You know, people talk about, well, Social Security is an entitlement. And, all, you know, it's like, no, we pay into this. We pay into that. So how can it be an entitlement? Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm straying off, so I apologize. But you said something about the civil rights movement, and you think about it, go back any time from 80 years to now, 80 years ago to now, any type of black upward mobility, black progression, there's always been like this white backlash. You know, when you think about when Lyndon Baines Johnson, you know, appointed, you know, when he had, you know, the Great Society, and we can have that conversation about whether it was good or bad, but the fact that the Great Society happened, the appointment of Constance Baker Motley, first female federal judge appointed, you had Thurgood Marshall, you had the Fair Housing Act a few days right after King was assassinated in 1968. So all of that met with the backlash of the Southern strategy, you know, when Nixon used that. Because a lot of those, the so-called Democrats that were Dixiecrats, switched over, you know. And then you had the boy busing and all of these things that happened in the 70s. And then when you jump into the 80s, you know, with Jimmy Carter, and a lot of people had, you know, whatever issues you had with Jimmy Carter, with the inflation, with the Iran, the hostages in Iran or whatever, Reagan basically trounced on that, but not only trounced on that, his first campaign stop was in Philadelphia, Mississippi, talking about states' rights. Now, why is it Philadelphia, Mississippi, of all places? Well, Philadelphia, Mississippi, 16 years earlier, is when the three civil rights workers got killed in Neshoba County. So, in states' rights, because we don't need the federal government getting in our lives. That's the thing about history, understanding history, knowing history, because, again, we are doomed to repeat it if we don't straighten up. Simple as that.
Yes. And
so, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just wanted to make sure that I clarify, you know, I am shocked, but What I am is disappointed, and I'm very upset that this is where we are still. It's almost like, you know, we're moving, but moving is not anything to get excited about, because just because you're moving, I mean, you can, you know, run in place. That's moving. You know, we have to make sure we're moving forward. And that's the problem. We are not moving forward. We're just moving, which that basically means is that there's a lot of talk going on in the Senate and Congress and all around, you know, in the cities and stuff, but there's no forward moving. And we are not, so how do we get...
People are scared of that.
How can we move forward? But we have to. Don, we have to move forward. We can't be worried about them. We can't allow the ones that are afraid to stop the progress. Because
this
we have to.
And this isn't about bashing. Again, this isn't about bashing conservatives or even liberals or whatever. I think, you know, people talk about conservatives and people talk about, well, what are you conserving? Well, there is a sense of traditionalism that people are very adamant on keeping. And you're within that bubble. Now, it goes both ways too, but at the same time, there is you're conserving a mindset that your beliefs are basically in this bubble. And any outside force of that's coming in, that's scary. That's why we're having these culture wars that we're having right now. Because it's challenging you. It's challenging people to think outside that bubble and come to their assessment once they understand those things outside that bubble. A lot of people don't want to do that, you know? We talk about that, you know, that progression. Even with Obama, again, say what you will, you know, I have my issues with him just the same. But when Obama came and when Obama was elected, you know, a lot of people, especially a lot of Republicans, met at the steakhouse and said, look, we're going to basically turn down or vote against everything he proposed, even if it's our old recycled stuff. You know, the health care, the quote-unquote Obamacare, that was from the Heritage Foundation. Heritage Foundation was a conservative think tank. Bob Dole basically used that same platform in his 96 presidential campaign against Clinton's reelection. So Obama basically used that. He basically used what Mitt Romney was doing as the governor of Massachusetts at the time. They called it Romney Care. So, you know, it's socialism. These big words, it's communism and all of this and Marxism. You know, I don't get off into that because I taught this. So I try to come at you with the straight and narrow, and that's what I try to do. I try not to give these crazy conspiracy theories. I try not to, you know, I don't like to get people riled up in panic. That's not my motivation. And that's a lot of people's motivation because that's how they make money. That's why you have the Fox News. That's why you have all of these outlets that basically want to scare the hell out of people. But anyway, long story short, man, I shared sentiments with you that, you know, and you said this, and maybe I'm paraphrasing, so I apologize for butchering what you said, but, you know, we got to learn to love at the end of the day. And people, there's no love right now. There's none.
Yeah. Nope. And the way we're going, there's not going to be any. You know, it just seems like we can't win even when we're winning. Because if we had a black president
that's real.
For eight years, we had a black president for 8 years in the White House, and we could not secure voting laws. We couldn't secure black rights to vote. How would that be even possible? What I mean, how do we look over that? You know, and then I was thinking about at the end of this last year when the Democrats were the majority in the House.
Oh my
God!
They were trying to push all kind of stuff through
because they knew the Republicans were about to take over the House. Why didn't they secure the voting rights if they had the majority of the House and the
Senate?
That
could have been done.
Why?
It was so crazy. That's never been an issue. that's never been an issue. That's never been an issue as far as the Voting Rights Act, because at one time the Senate voted 98-0 on keeping it intact. 98-0. No one voted against that because that was something that was bipartisan and that was something universal. Now we've gotten so gotten so polarizing, you know, because even after Obama was elected, you know, the first 2 years he had 60 Democrats in the Senate. He had a majority. He had a majority House that was still left over from 2006. That was a blue wave at the time, if you guys remember. I think 80, almost 90 seats were flipped for Democrats. So he had those first 2 years.
Oh,
he
could have
ran roughshod to some of the progressive policies and a lot of, but no one really got on him. No one really, and because we a lot of us, and me included, I'm not perfect. I kind of focused on the symbolism, and I didn't want to ruffle feathers at the time. I didn't want to say anything bad because, hey, this is the first black president. We can't get on him because Fox is already doing it, so we can't do it. So, no. And then he kind of, you know, in my opinion, he kind of coasted through it. And then 2010 comes, the Tea Party comes. And the Tea Party, that whole red wave, he lost the Senate. He lost the House. You know, he even said, we got a shellacking. So you have people like the Rand Pauls, and at the time, I think Ron DeSantis was the congressman in Florida at the time, and he was a part of the Tea Party. So, again, and then, you know, fast forward to 2014, with, you know, we have the people like the Tom Cottons and the Ted Cruzes and all of these nutbags, you know, that don't represent the majority. Here's the thing. The House Democrats represent, even though that they're in the minority right now, they represent 42 million more Americans. Now, you can have this conversation, well, what about the cities and Californias and the population cities? But no, you still represent 42 million more people. But why is that? Why the Republicans? Because they've gerrymandered districts. You have a Supreme Court now that basically is going to okay it, you know? So, I just had to get that hope off my chest. We just got to do better. We got to be more politically active. You know, we have to vote on the local level, down to dog catcher if we got to vote for one, you know, especially school boards. We've got to be involved at a local level, you know, not just the federal level, because it is the local level. And I live in a very, very conservative county in Arkansas. So, I'm the only speck of blue here when you really think about it. But no, it's unfortunate that you know, it's not saying these people are bad people. I did say Ron DeSantis is evil, but at the same time, there's a lot of people who don't understand history and understand the history of the marginalized and in fact, for us to move forward, it's not a zero-sum game, because you feel like if someone gains something, these people lose something else, and that's not fair, and that's not how it is when it comes to this country, and you know, and a rising tide lifts all boats, and I said that before. But anyway, I'm done with that. We got 40 minutes left of the show. Wardell, you got any final thoughts on that before we get into some music? Because I apologize. I just had to say something.
What do you think about those Eagles?
Love them. I love it. Fly, Eagles,
Dallas,
fly.
Did Dallas get beat up or what?
Oh,
Dallas,
man,
got beat up by the 49ers. Like, come on. That was embarrassing. That was an embarrassing loss, Dallas, because I thought Dallas and the Eagles were going to end up in the finals, but they froze up on it. So, but you know,
San Francisco always kind of had Dallas's number. San Francisco, didn't matter what the records were, you know, kind of the records go out the window when it's San Francisco because of that tradition and that history. But I kind of felt that San Francisco was going to beat them. But, you know, even with the backup quarterback that they do have in Brock Purdy. But I was glad nonetheless. So, hey, we got Eagles and 49ers. Hopefully Jalen Hurts will do his thing. Hopefully his shoulder is a little healed up. I know he had taken a couple of games off of it late in the season, and you know, Eagles lost, I think, two games in a row at the time. I'm not sure. But now since they're in the playoffs and they're on full speed, hopefully they can kind of get to the Super Bowl. And I'm hoping the Chiefs will beat the Bengals. I'm going to somebody's Super Bowl party, basically.
You're always welcome to come to mine. I'm going to have the Eagles Super Bowl party right here. So
that's
just come right
about.
On down the road. Come on down. And last time I had an Eagles Super Bowl party, nobody came but the guys in my Bible study group. I couldn't get any of my regular friends to come. So the guys in my Bible study group felt bad. They felt bad for me, so they came. So I was like, we're having
fun. You know what's funny? I grew up on the border, you know, Texas and Arkansas, and that's cowboy country. You know, that and folks were like, well, how come you're not a cowboy fan? You grew up in cowboy country. I said, I like the Cowboys. It wasn't just my favorite, but when I, you know, I've been a fan of the Eagles since really Cunningham. You know, that's when I, you know, when you, it was very rare to see quarterbacks who looked like you at the time. You know, yeah, you had Warren Moon down in Houston with the Oilers, and I liked Warren Moon, but Randall Cunningham was I felt me at the time because I was, blowing myself up. No, I was an athletic guy. I could throw the ball, you know, I guess at the sixth grade level. I could throw the ball 50-plus yards. I'll keep it at that. You know, I was very athletic. I could run, you know, and he had those attributes that I loved. And I mean, I've been an Eagles fan ever since. So, you know, seeing someone that looked like me behind the center like that, which was very rare, especially in growing up in the 80s, And Doug Williams, what he did for Washington in that Super Bowl when they beat the pants off John Elway and the Broncos, I was like, you know what, hey, it's all good. But I was an Eagles fan. Now, granted, the Eagles didn't go to the Super Bowl with Cunningham, but that was just he was just everything, you know, as a kid growing up. And I didn't even know how far Philadelphia was from where I was. But I knew what Dallas was, and I didn't either.
Yeah.
But I loved it. And I'm hoping they'll win. I'm hoping they win this weekend. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Yeah. Fly, Eagles, fly. There you go. Well, isn't there a song, Fly? Fly, what's that song called? Fly.
That's Fly, Robin, Fly.
Fly, Robin, Fly.
You know what, man? Linda needs to get into this conversation with us. That's one of the things we got to have Linda on and hang out with us, man. I know she's listening. She's listening, isn't she? No. Oh well.
I know that Linda wanted to talk about how do we, you know, in such a dark space, you know, how do we see the light? You know, what do we do to make it better? How can we, you know, how do we survive in this darkness? Because it's ugly.
Man.
So,
we're going to do a block. We're going to do a block. And work your magic, man, like you always do.
Let's see what she at. Let's see what she up to. Okay.
Let's work our magic. We're going to go into this block, though. We got about 42 minutes left of the show. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much. A lot of people might have tuned off, you know, after the stuff I was saying. But no, let's go ahead and keep the music going, man. I'm a big fan. Of course, Wardell played drums on this Visions album, of course, from Miss Gladys Knight and the Pips. And of course, I'm so proud. I feel like that proud little brother. But I want to take you back to the Visions album, 1983. Of course, this is the lovely Gladys Knight, of course, and the Pips. The name of the song is called When You're Far Away. You guys keep it locked right here. Of course, it is Throwback Thursday Night on Solar Records Radio. Let's keep it locked right here.
We'll be right back.
Records Radio. Of course, it is Throwback Thursday night. Don Fleming, Wardell Potts Jr. Of course, that was from the fall of 1995. That was a jam right there. That was music from Horace Brown. Love that. It's called One for the Money. You know what? And I used to try to do that little dance, but that's another story down the road. You know, of course, before that, from 1979, DQ, Disco Nights, Rock Freak. I love that. Love that. 79, all the way back. And, of course, started off the block with a classic from her Visions album, the lovely Miss Gladys Knight, lovely Gladys Knight and the Pips. The name of the song is called When You're Far Away. And, Wardell, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, you played drums on that song.
Which one?
Oh, here you go. Which one? Oh, do you know her Visions album, right?
Oh, yeah.
You got to Google yourself and find out.
Yeah, you know what you're talking about. I'm so sorry. You know me, I'm goofy. Oh man,
and old.
So...
You're a little older too, so you know. I know you're getting up there.
Yeah,
man. I'm sorry.
See,
who do we have on the phone line?
I don't know. Hello, knock knock.
Oh my queen.
Well, I'm gonna let you in. That voice. I'm gonna let you in anyway. I'm pretending like I don't know who you are, but because I heard the voice, I'm letting you in. You knock, knock. Come on in.
Come in. Excellent. Thank you for letting me in.
Her voice sounds
crazy. How are you guys?
We're good.
We're good. Ladies and gentlemen, the lovely Miss Linda Carrier is hanging out with us. Solar Records Radio.
Yay,
Throwback Thursday night. How are you?
I'm really well. Thank you very much. Slightly tired in a weird, just, and the weather's been so shaky for kind of everybody in the country for a while, but it's been nice now, so that's good. So all
cold.
Yeah, it's
good.
It's cold,
cold here.
Too.
And I'm getting ready to go cut my own hair after the show, so, you know. Like,
I was just thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the weather... California has the best weather, period, in the United States.
It kind of does, I guess, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's the best weather. So, can't beat the weather, but it's just too many people there, right? Like, Lord, everybody from the whole country just, and you know, from around the world, go to California and New York. So, it's just like, ugh. And you see how New York is. I mean, people are paying $300,000-$400,000 for apartments, you know. So
yep,
California is crazy like that too.
California is very expensive too, right? So everybody relax the way you are and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Indeed.
How do we enjoy?
Indeed.
How do we enjoy, Linda, in such a you know, turbulent times? What's your your thoughts of how, you know, what should we look to do? Like find things that make us happy?
You're right in that it's a dark period. It's such a dark period politically, which affects everything in the country and how people are feeling and looking at each other and planning lives. And I guess, I know the only thing that works for me is I have to center myself, because like everybody else, I'm inundated with horrible news stories. They're dark, they're painful, they're twisted. We're listening to what's going to happen legally to stuff or politically to things. And I can't swallow that 24 hours a day. I really do have to center myself, and however you can do that,
recharge.
How you can get quiet and remember. It's even difficult sometimes when I talk to friends or even new people that I meet. It's difficult to find or even remember what you like, what centered you. And it's really important to spend a little time doing that. If you can, it's not possible for everybody to take a walk in really difficult weather, but when you can, or if you can stretch at home and or after work, if you can find a half hour to exercise in ways we've forgotten how to do it. If you're at home and you can walk for a half hour, to begin with, that's really important. And try to eat well. That nourishes your body so your brain can relax a little bit. And, you know, it's like what they're doing with you is listening to music that they like or that they will learn about. But, I mean, finding that kind of opportunity to listen to music or to read. I mean, sometimes words are really important to me. I love to read and write, but sometimes it takes time to become less wired by everything. And sometimes you can't even stop and do things that you like. But that's why I say what you have to do when you have to have a meal, don't be connected to the internet or be connected to television. Let the news go. And, you know, turn it on the music channel if you want the TV on or something. Or choose a music channel that you like or that one that you can relax with, and just so you can eat in a relaxed way. And if we do that, if we do it like once a day and there's a moment to do that, we'll start retraining ourselves to seek that kind of time out and do it again tomorrow and then the next day and give ourselves something to recharge, because it's hard to remember how to do that sometimes.
Amen. You know,
yes, indeed.
I just want to say, you know, when I'm listening to Linda speak, it makes me think, you know, please don't allow, we have to make sure we don't allow ourselves to become victims of wanting something for nothing. And what I mean by that is that when you say you want to feel better, you need to feel better, you're so sick of this stuff, you have to do something. And so I know for some people, when she said walk, it's like going, oh my God, I don't want to do that. And so, but you have to like invest, you know, to get something
exactly
out. You got to put
that
something in to put something out, right? So, you
is
know, don't just make yourself become the victim.
It.
Yeah, and we'll get lazy in our wants. As we're like, well, yeah, but, yeah,
totally.
I want, but, you
totally
know. Yeah, and yeah, but you don't want to work for it, but you got to work for it. You know,
oh, and
otherwise
I will advocate walking. Yeah, right. You know me and that.
Yeah.
That's why I'm suggesting even a half hour to start. I mean, you know, if you have an hour and you have the weather that allows it and you can do it and you're dressed warmly if it's cold, and if you can do 40 minutes, that's 2 miles.
Yeah.
Do
now
I do that kind of. Hmm?
Yes. You just have to do something. Like for me, I go to the gym and I swim. You know.
Exactly.
So I enjoy swimming. There's some people that may prefer to do bike riding. There's some people that prefer to run.
Or yoga.
Whatever.
Or dance.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. But whatever it is, yeah. You know, that's the point. Do something that's going to energize you in a healthy way, in a positive way.
And people don't remember
that. Yeah, because it's frustrating when we're just sitting there. We become products of our environment. We just sit there. Next thing you know, we're looking at the TV, and then we listen to all this negative news stuff, and then it starts to drain you. And so
it will continue to do that, too.
Oh, yeah. And I find myself every day going, I'm not looking at that no more. I'm sick of the news. And then I find myself being nosy, wanting to know, okay, what happened?
Right.
And then I get pulled into this darkness again, and I'm just like, you know, of course we want to know what's going on in the world, and that's okay to do that periodically. But when it becomes like an everyday thing where you just are glued to the TV, that is, yeah. And it's totally unhealthy. So,
and it doesn't
help anything. Right. I agree with Linda's suggestion. Don, what do you think?
So even no matter what it is, exactly. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Don.
No. I'm glad you guys are you know, engaging. I think people heard enough of me earlier. But, no, I think it's okay. It's okay to detox yourself from the realities of, you know, because of the 24-hour news cycle, those things are, and they're not healthy. I think we can multitask. I think we have to understand the things that are around us, but at the same time, we don't have to have it 24/7 ad nauseum. I'm not the perfect person. I've been suspended from Twitter. I've been suspended from Facebook because I have a habit of engaging in a lot of trolls. You know, a lot of people who like to troll. And people like, well, yeah, that's just wasted energy. That's wasted. And I'm learning it. It's a everyday process. It's a one day at a time process for me.
But
I understand
what you're saying. Look, it's really important for us to know what's going on, to understand the full spectrum of politics, to understand how that affects our government, how it affects our pay, how it affects us socially. That's legitimate. I'm only saying that to do that so much where that's all you do and you're so plugged in to everything, I'm saying that is truly a negative thing. You have to relate to family and children and friends. And if that's your lead perspective, you're going to lose something for a while. Lose something eventually. And health doesn't work that way. That's why I'm just asking whoever's interested to find out what allows you to calm down. If it's the gym like Ordell, walking like me, not many people stretch and exercise like we did in the past. Or if you still remember yoga, for example, and you can engage with that even without buying it. You can get to a training of yoga online. You can, or anything else, just anything that you are allowing your body to strengthen, and your brain. Your brain is part of that too, to relax and to recharge your body and to get healthy again. Because it's very easy, no matter how young you are, to wear yourself down to where you're getting headaches or your shoulders hurt or your whatever, because you're not disengaging from the same wired, locked-in method of drinking in news. Try to give your bodies and your minds a break. You can do a spiritual break too, and do that and do a physical time, because it will help. I don't mean to preach so much about that. It really is something that I try to sell to people that I care about.
You just don't know who needs to hear that.
And
you, you don't know.
Okay.
You don't know who needs to hear that. No, seriously. I'm glad you're mentioning it, because it comes from the heart. It comes from a genuine place with you.
It totally does. I promise. I do it. You know, I'm as engaged in being well-informed as you are. I really am.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times I have to pull away, and I can't allow it to be 24/7 for me. I mean, I have to look at something else if it's TV. But more than anything, physically and mentally, I have to, when I have days that I can walk, I try to get a few miles in on those days, and the difference is tremendous. It really is. I promise.
That's good. Please just understand. I mean, this is about self-care. This is along the category of self-care.
100%.
And when something's damaging to you, especially not just physically but mentally, you have to
detox
yourself.
That's what I'm talking about.
And you know, and you have to find a way to do
that. Important part. Yeah.
Definitely. We got about another 11 minutes left of the show again. I want to come back for a quick second. I promised I was going to play Stevie Wonder, so I'm going to go ahead and play some Stevie Wonder, because I have it in the thumbnail. I got to play it.
That's Linda's guy right there.
That's right.
No, one of my albums. You know, one of my favorite albums, and people say, well, what's your favorite Stevie album? And you really don't have one, because they're all great.
I mean, whether it's
The Talking Book, Songs in the Key of Life, I mean, let's keep it real. Even In Square Circle was a great album, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I will go ahead and play some from Stevie Wonder. We're going to come back and we're going to go ahead and close the show. I want to take you back all the way, go all the way back 43 years. That's a long time ago.
Wow.
Now. 43. I want to take you back.
Hello.
Take you back all the way 43 years ago from the album Hotter in July. Hotter Than July.
Mm.
One of my favorite albums from Stevie. I love that album cover too. Of course, this is Rocket Love. You guys keep it locked right here.
Wow.
Of course, we're closing out. We're going to come back. Little Solar Records Radio. You guys keep it locked right here. We got about another 5 minutes left in the show. Of course, that was music from Mr. Stevie Wonder. I was going to say the lovely Stevie Wonder, but no, that wouldn't have sounded right. Of course, from the Hotter Than July album from 1980, of course, that is Rocket Love. And again, guys, thank you so much for hanging out. And any final thoughts, Linda? We're going to start with you, and I know you are very, very well-versed and very articulated on your thoughts and the things that you love to talk about. Please, closing remarks. I'd love to hear.
I'm not even prepared for it. I was so immersed in the song you just played about Stevie, who, like Wardell, laughed if you mentioned his name, because I'm so invested. And that song, I didn't remember all the lyrics, but I know every note of the music. So I sang it. I sang it while you played it. That's something we could all do. How about that? Listen to Stevie's song, because lyrically he was one of the most prolific lyricists, and the lyrics
told
such beautiful stories with his amazing music. So that was so wonderful. So, I mean, for me, I just wish everybody well, and I honestly believe and try to live by what I was saying to you, to find something, to sit back and remember what you like, what kind of feeds your soul. And if it's reading, that I'm sure none of us do as much as we used to. That's something I love. There's never time enough to do that. But if you can just try to remember something you like and do it a little, and it'll begin to pull you back in, and you might find a great outlet for yourself. That kind of helps balance.
Well said.
That kind of
helps
balance.
Well said. Wardell, what you got?
Really?
See, he done stepped away, didn't he?
Has he
always does.
I didn't know.
He does this.
Does he?
But I know. But you know what? We want to go ahead. Final thoughts, man. Final thoughts.
Hey, I first of all, Linda, thank you. That was very well said. And
yeah.
I want to also
say, she's on it. Love her.
By the way, that's Linda Carrier from Dynasty. That's one of the lead singers of Dynasty. So we do appreciate you, Linda. Thank you so much for calling in. And I want to also say that song, I could have sworn that song was before 1980. I thought that was before I even came to California. That sounds like something like 77, 77 or something like that. That's a beautiful song. Whoa.
Isn't it gorgeous?
That was a great song. Yes.
Well,
yes.
You know, that's the name. That's the same song with a Happy Birthday to that Happy Birthday song, and is it Master Blaster is on that album, giving you a little island vibe on that album too. That's Hotter Than July. I love that album, man. It's one of my favorites. I have it.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I have it right behind me, CD. But anyway, we got about a minute 45 left in the show. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you tune tomorrow, because it is Friday. And you know what that means, of course. It is we're celebrating the legacy of Solar Records Radio. You never know. We might have Linda call in. I know she's running. You never know.
You never know.
I'm going to have to hint.
You never know.
You never know. So tune in. Make sure you hang out with us 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, I want to wish you guys a happy Thursday evening. And, guys, get some sleep. That's what I'm going to get. I'm going to get me some sleep.
Happy
just
Thursday,
get off this rant.
Everybody.
I'm going to have some
yeah.
tea and just relax. So we'll see you guys
right.
tomorrow.
Eat
Wardell,
well,
we are
everybody.
Out, brother. Thank you, Linda.
Yay.
See you guys
Thank
tomorrow.
Thank you for letting me be here. Yay.
It's all good. It's all good. Guys, you have a good one. Going to close out a little after 7, about 40 seconds left, but, you know, we'll have about 40 seconds of after 7. This is called Can't Stop for Wardell Potts Jr. I'm Don Flynn, of course, the lovely Miss Linda Carrier. Have a great Thursday evening.
Thank
good night,
you.
Guys.
Bye.
I feel